Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds, and they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Hey everyone, Michael Anthony here. Van Halen, Chickenfoot, Sammy in the Circle. But anyway, you're listening to the only podcast that is dedicated to breaking down the entire Van Halen catalog one track at a time. And the podcast will rock. Ow!
Hello, baby!
What's up, all you rockers, rockettes, and everything in between? You have stumbled into a new edition of And the Podcast Will Rock. We are the show that dives into the discography, the catalog of one of the greatest rock and roll bands of all time. Some would say the greatest rock and roll band of all time, Van Halen. But I'm not the judge here. I'll let you be the judge of that. I just simply will say we love this band. I am one of your co-hosts, Mark Meyer. With me, as always, Corey Morissette. Corey, is it sweltering up in Canada yet, or is that just here?
I think it's just there. It's just pleasant here. I've had a week, my friend. This has been the longest week of my life, and it's Tuesday.
Oh, boy.
Work is just kicking me in the balls for the last 3 or 4 days, and I am so ready to rock out with little Van Halen tonight. Thank God we're recording this a day early, because I really needed this tonight.
Oh, yeah, for sure. And that's the beauty of this podcast. We are flexible. We can do this whenever we can. And you, sir, are a busy guy when it comes to podcasting. I'm surprised you have a day to where you can decide, hey, we shouldn't record this day. We should record this day, because you are so busy with backtracks. It seems like you and John just never seem to stop.
Well, and you know, we banked up so many. We usually get on one of these calls. We record three a night. So we're well into August, I think, on pre-records. But now John and I are talking about expanding backtracks.
Exactly.
Yeah. We're going to have backtracks. Aerosmith, we're still going to continue with that show, but there might be one or two new backtracks coming. One that might involve movie music, songs from movies, and one that might just be limitless. Just whatever people want to bring up, just bring your favorite song. And we're going to create a Spotify playlist featuring just all the best music that we all love. That doesn't fit into the constraints of a certain band or a certain genre, just anything. And both of those
endless playlists,
the endless limitless playlist. Yeah. Both of those really, really excite me. I have to wait for John to get back from California. He was at Star Wars Celebration. I think he just got back home today. So he's probably going to take a week to decompress and get rid of the jet lag before we get back in the saddle, as it were, on the Aerosmith show. So right now, this is my only podcast this week.
Well, how about that? So now we are in for something completely crazy with a refreshed Corey, because he's super refreshed. He's ready to give you all the quips and japes that you need and that you want when the you japes, come I like to that. This. All the things that you want when you come to visit us here at And the Podcast Will Rock. Maybe we'll even get a Diamond Dave impression from Corey. Who knows?
Probably not, but you are going to get an apology right off the hop, because last week I started talking about a new show that is coming up on the Deep Dive Podcasting Network on Megadeth, and I totally fucking butchered it, man. Like, it was, I think I had one too many Weisers, or I had my tweets mixed up or whatever. Totally fucked it up. So I'm here to apologize and let you know that So Far, So Pod, So What is still coming in June, hosted by John from Maiden A to Z. I think I said Tom from the Metal God Show. That's incorrect. It's John from Maiden A to Z. And Buffalo Greg DePasquale, who has been on our show, who I'm dying to have back on because we owe him a good tune. They're kicking that up in June. They have kind of an introductory episode up right now, wherever you get your podcast, and I listen to it. And these guys have a great rapport, which I think really is what makes these kind of shows tick. You need to have good tunes, and you need to have a good rapport. Hopefully, Mark, you and I have a good rapport, and that's why some people hang around. And I know that John and Greg do as well. So I'm really looking forward to that show kicking off in June on the Deep Dive Podcasting Network. So Far, So Pod, So What.
There you go. So yeah, apologies for the mispronunciation or whatever it was last week.
I just fucked it up.
There you go.
I just suck.
We unfucked it. So it's therefore it is not fucked. Everything has now been unfucked.
Thank you. Yes.
Yeah. So it'll actually be really interesting. You guys be sure to check out Backtracks on the Deep Dive Podcasting Network featuring Corey and the ever popular, ever famous John Mariano, who's he's decompressing probably, but it might be an even funnier show just to hear what he sounds like completely jet lagged and miserable trying to talk about Aerosmith. I'd be curious to see what songs he would turn out for feeling that sort of way, but
it's interesting. Normally he's just miserable. Now he'd be jet-lagged and miserable. Yeah,
he'd be jet-lagged and miserable. Exactly. So I think that'll be an interesting dynamic of Mariano that we're not used to, and that would be fun for the world to experience. So be on the lookout for that, you guys. But you didn't come here exactly for Aerosmith, or maybe you did. And if you did, go check out Backtracks. It's a great show. But you came here for Van Halen, and we absolutely want to deliver that. You guys know how the show works, or if you don't, if you're a first timer, let me explain. We have all of the songs on a giant wheel. That's right, a wheel. We spin the wheel, and whatever the wheel decides to land on, we talk about that particular song in Van Halen's category. A lot of people still do not believe the wheel is an actual thing, no matter how many times we tweet it out. We tweet it out every time because we want to show people it's real. It's a thing. And sometimes the wheel is not nice at all. Greg DePasquale can atone to that, or he can attest to it. But sometimes the wheel throws us a bone. Corey has had himself a rough week. I myself have had a rough couple of days, but I think what we need to bring us back from the depths of despair, as it were, or not quite despair, but close to it, is a rockin' Van Halen tune. So then I have to ask you, Corey, is there a particular song or is there an album in Van Halen's catalog that you would like to manifest? Everybody drink. Manifest for tonight's episode.
You know, I'm not even going to bring the bad juju that's bringing down my life right now onto the wheel. I'm going to be happy with pretty much anything. Last week, the wheel treated us very nicely, gave us a little mean street. Right. So very quickly, shall we go through the poll results and the tweets from that one?
Absolutely. We should do that.
Okay. Well, the poll, unsurprisingly, 96.7% what dreams are made of, only 3.3% this dream is over. That's out of 90 votes. So one of our bigger polls, and it's still active actually, because we're recording this a day early, but I think that equates to only one. This dream is over. And it's not even John Mariano. One of the first guys who tweeted was John Mariano, who said, I voted positively for once.
He did, yes. So
someone's a contrarian out there and actually didn't like that song, and I can't believe it. Let's quickly go through some of these tweets here, folks. Chris Wagman said, my vote is for Mean Street. Thank you very much, Chris. The Vic says, my favorite by far. Look at that. Getting a lot of love, Mean Street is. Rihanna says, this song 100% on target. I agree with you, Rihanna, very much. Charles Johnson says, there is a reason this song opens the record. Fan-fucking-tastic. Well said, Charles. I couldn't said it any better than that. Brian Peterkin says, damn, my favorite Van Halen tune. Such a cool riff. Dave delivers the lyrics so masterfully. Love everything about this song. Yes. Preacher to the choir, my friend, Brian. We agree with you. Our good friends at Sean Geek and the Fast Fret Podcast said, Absolute genius of a song. Not a weak song on this album. Not a one. Ed's playing is simply tasty in this, with jagged edges that make it dangerous yet catchy. And Alex, my God, he always plays what the song needs and still makes it cool. And in this, my fave, Dave, the storyteller with a punch, sounding dangerous and cool as hell. And Mike, damn it, Mike, he just makes this song groove. Very well said, Sean Geek, Fast Fred Podcast. Yeah. Check those guys out. They're doing some great work over there. Maiden A to Z, after calling me up for fucking up their show, sorry about that again, John, said it's my song of the year 2022. I can tell you already, I play it all the time, usually with the rest of Fair Warning up after. Great opener, great album. Also, Tool put it in as their pre-intro jam, like UFO, AC/DC for Metallica and Maiden when I saw them this spring. So that's kind of cool. And wow, I've actually heard Mean Street play in a few pre-concert jams. So Tool, we could add to that list as well. Tom, friend of the show, R. Brewster, says, I see the contrarians are at it again. Honestly, I like Mean Street better than Unchained. And John Geek actually agreed with that one. That's kind of a hot take in a way. Mark, would you say Mean Street is better than Unchained?
Ooh, I think my personal bias has to disagree with that sentiment. However, I am not going to deny anyone their justice. If you're going to say that Mean Streets is better than Unchained, I acknowledge that, and I understand why you might feel that way. Me personally, because I don't know, I just feel attached to Unchained. It's one of my favorite Van Halen tunes of all time. I can't give it to Mean Streets above Unchained. That's me personally. However, if you, the audience, think that Mean Streets is better, I'm not going to fight you.
You know, they're pretty comparable for me, but I've heard Unchained so many more times. It's maybe a little overplayed. Mm-hmm. So I would gravitate more towards Mean Street right now, but I thought that was very interesting, and they're obviously both great songs. Mark Fuller said, who the hell voted this dream is over? Wow, I agree on that.
I know. I wish they'd come out and tell us.
Gene Hickey, when we were 4 votes in and it was 100%, he said, just close the poll now, because he's one of those guys, like, he just doesn't get the poll that people are voting down on some of these songs. Just shut her down at 4 votes, 100%. Yeah. And I was tempted, but you know what? We didn't stray too far from the 100. There was only one down vote on it. Our good buddy Michael Green, a good friend of yours, Mark, who you called out on the last show, he says, the song is what dreams are made of. John Mariano voted with his heart. Mark the Bat dropped the gloves with our good friend Michael. Then he put, listen to Van Halen 3, Mark. So he's still. And then he goes on to say, and I agree 100%, at CD Morissette is the man. He rocks this podcast. Thank you, Michael. That's awesome of you to say. I'm glad that he's on my side. Mean Street is top 10. Van Halen for sure. Great show. And he gave a little fist bump. So thank you very much, Michael. I know Mark is a big fan of yours and a big fan of Van Halen 3. You going to let him have it again this week?
Look, don't tell me to listen to Van Halen 3. I am. We have this show for that purpose. So don't fret not. We'll get to more tracks from Van Halen 3, I assure you. But boy, you are not making my chances of it being an optimistic approach any clearer. So yeah, we'll see how the rest of those tracks go down.
Oh yes.
Okay, so that's all the tweets on the poll. 96% what dreams are made of. But we right before breaking news, right before we started recording, David Lee Roth was harassed coming off an airplane at an airport by a fan with a cell phone. And the fan was, you know, telling him how much he's a fan and all that. But he asked him, like, is there any chance, Dave, that you might come out of retirement and maybe do some stuff? And, you know, Dave was having some fun with him and said, there's always a tomorrow for a singer, but not so much for a trombone player, whatever that means. But then he said, you know, how many retirements did Rocky have? And how many times did Rambo kind of come out of retirement to fight the next mission? So he kind of just said, I'm only halfway through my first retirement. I think Dave still got some in the tank. And I know you and I speculated when he canceled his Vegas run that maybe it was because there was so much interest in the Vegas run, he might be planning some sort of tour. And of course, since then, we've got the news that, you know, Alex Van Halen had been talking with Joe Satriani and Jason Newsted, and Michael Anthony was part of those talks, and maybe a guy like Steve Lukather, and maybe Pink. David Lee Roth threw that out there. I know Eric said that was kind of tongue in cheek, but I still can't get over it. I think Pink would be fantastic, but you know, I'm still holding out hope that this little tribute tour kind of comes together. I doubt it's going to be like a 40-50 date actual tour, but it'll be like, you know, 15, 20 shows just across North America celebrating the music of Van Halen and Eddie Van Halen. And man, wouldn't that be fantastic?
It would be. I would almost go so far as to say, I don't know that it would even be like a tour that stretched out that far. Like maybe it would be like a residency thing in LA.
Residency, yeah.
Maybe, or maybe they do like a 10 show thing where it's just all on the West Coast, something like that. It would be nice if they branched out through, you know, North America for a brief tour, if you want to call it that. Mini tour, if you will, and at least expand so that give everybody else who maybe is not on the West Coast a chance to see him, if that is indeed what they might do. I'm inclined to think that's they'll probably test the waters that way for a few shows, and if they feel up to expanding, yeah, we might hear something about that. I'm still stuck on this whole, did David Lee Roth just compare himself to two Sylvester Stallone characters?
He did, actually, yeah.
He did. And okay. I'm just making sure that I was hearing that correctly, and I've got no retort to that anyway. But so yeah, hey.
You know what? The man's a legend. Rocky's a legend. Rambo's a legend.
Exactly.
It fits.
They're all legends and they're all old. So, I mean, there you go. It's fine. And don't get it twisted. I love those films. And I love Diamond Dave. You know, I just prefer Hagar most of the time. But that's neither here nor there, you guys. We might indeed spin a Dave tune. And I would not be mad about that, because Dave songs in Van Halen are, you know, very much of the party variety. They're very much of the you know, sex, drugs, and rock and roll. And sometimes it's nice, especially if you've had a long week, a long day, whatever, and you just want to turn off your brain, decompress, listen to some rocking tunes, and you're not worried about the content of the tune. You're just worried about, like, is it fun? Is it going to make me enjoy my life for a little bit, for however many minutes this track goes? Sometimes you need that. I think we need that. So I'm not going to manifest the song whatsoever. I'm just going to let the wheel do its thing. And I would just simply ask it be merciful.
All right, Mark, pick a number between 1 and 10.
4.
That's how many times I'm going to hit shuffle here. So we got 1, 2, 3, 4. All right. What do you say? Are you ready, sir?
Hit it, Sammy.
Here we go.
Oh boy, really? Are we going to get another Van Halen? It's Van Halen.
Oh my God!
And it's not a party song. It's Without You, Without You from Van Halen 3. This is one of the singles from the Gary Cherone album. I got to say, Mark, probably not what you were hoping for tonight.
It wasn't, but then again, I don't know, because I am not familiar with Without You from Van Halen 3. You say it was one of their singles. I believe you. That still doesn't mean I heard it. And somewhere out there, I hear this cackle out on the wind, a foul voice, a cackle, if you will, goes by the name of Michael Green, I'm sure. So, here you go, bud. You wanted it here. We're doing it again. Another Van Halen 3 track. Not ideal, Corey.
Well, you know what? This is one of the tracks I do like on Van Halen 3. And, there was two edits of this. There was a single edit and an album version. We'll listen to the album version. It's a little longer. It's 6 minutes, 30 seconds. So get comfy, Mark. We're going to be here for a little bit. We just talked about a Van Halen 3 song, so it's still kind of fresh, you know, recorded in 97, released in 98. Gary Cherone comes over from Extreme. We kind of talked about the circumstances of him joining the band ad nauseum. You know, I always kind of go back to him saying, I wish I could kind of tour or play some shows with Van Halen to kind of become part of the band, as it were, before just coming in and recording that album. Yeah, because not a lot of chemistry. But this is one of the songs that kind of stick out as being one of the better tracks. If we were going to spin a Van Halen 3 track, and I mentioned last week, actually, that I'm getting sick of shitting on Gary Cherone Van Halen songs, because the first three we did weren't very good. Here's one that I'm actually looking forward to hearing, because from what I remember, it's pretty gosh darn good.
Well, I hope so. Like I said, this is going to be another first for me for this album. So if you say that it's got it's one of the better ones. I'll take your word for it, and I guess we'll find out. And I'm hoping that I do. Maybe this is the one. Maybe this is the one that changes my mind on how I'm feeling about the album as a whole so far in what we've listened to on the show, that is. So maybe I'm holding out hope. I'm going to be, dare I say, optimistic.
There you go. Go in with an open heart and an open mind, my friend.
There we go.
All right. What do you say? Let's start a little Without You from Van Halen 3.
Let's do it.
All right, Mark, what do you think, 40 seconds in?
I really dug the last 10 seconds that we just listened to, of when Eddie just comes in and is like, I got it, here you go, and just starts shredding a little bit. I think Gary sounds fine as far as the notes go. The technicality of the vocal style is fine, except for one thing. If I did not have the lyric sheet right in front of me, I would be thinking he's singing nonsense syllables, because they're not very well enunciated. And look, I know that's not what we're here to do. We're not here to nitpick the technicalities of the music, especially the vocals. I know it feels like I do that a lot. I'm sorry. I'm not trying to do that. But I'm just being honest. If I did not have the lyric sheet of this first verse of the song to know what he's saying, I would have no clue what he's saying, because it sounds like gibberish.
You know, and we talked about that on the From Afar episode. There's some sort of vocal effect on there, right? It's not very full bodied. It sounds kind of thin and kind of tinny, doesn't it? That maybe makes it a little tougher to pick those words out.
I mean, I don't want to say he's singing timidly. Maybe it's just the mix of the vocal.
Yeah, that's what I
don't know.
There's some sort of vocal effect on there that's kind of taken away a lot of the power in Gary's voice, which is, yeah. Why would you want to suppress
it? Could be that, or could be, the more we keep hearing about his time with the band and during this album, it kind of feels like maybe he just was not completely in it fully, because he just didn't feel like he was part of the band. And if that's the case, then perhaps the performance kind of shows through on record. But I don't want to say that that's it. I'm going to have to assume perhaps it's part of the mixing.
I think so, because I really hear Gary like giving it his all. It's just, it's not really coming through. And maybe that's just in the production of not only this song, but the album as well. Mike Post, who we talked about, and Eddie produced this at 5150. So I don't know. Let's keep going and see if this song's going to grow on you a little bit here.
Sure.
You see, I'm getting 100% Gary Cherone. It's just the production doesn't put him front and center, right? But the band sounds amazing on this, doesn't it?
There's a lot of rhythm section in this portion. Like even Eddie is kind of the guitar, the ornamentation and everything he's doing back there is sort of on the lower side. You know, maybe it's just because of how I'm listening to it. But am I crazy? Does Eddie's kind of sound like he's a little too far away?
A little bit, like I was just focusing on the guitar tone the drums, which all sound great, and really kind of paying attention to the bass, because this is one of the three tracks that Michael Anthony actually played on.
Oh yeah,
yeah. So the bass I thought was sounded really cool.
Like I said, the rhythm section, both drums and bass, are coming through pretty full. They're not overpowering to me, but they're full. I don't have a problem hearing them. I don't have a problem hearing what they're doing. there's something going on with Gary's vocal booth. And then for whatever reason, Eddie sounds like he's behind a door or something. And maybe that's just by design because they're keeping you, you know, keeping him hidden for a bit until he comes back full front, full, you know, right in your face with his guitar tone, like he did at the beginning of the song. And then I'm assuming he's probably going to do that in a solo, but I don't know. We'll find out.
I will say there's a lot of really cool elements in this song, but it's how it's mixed. The production of the song is kind of leaving me wanting more. And of course,
yeah, I'm not crazy about it.
Yeah, Mike Post wrote a lot of cool TV themes and stuff, but as a producer, man, I don't know. I think if you get Ted Templeman in there producing this song, it's going to sound fucking killer.
Yes, because he understands how they sound and how they're supposed to sound.
Now, I really dig that chorus, Mark. What did you think?
I like the chorus. I'm going to get butchered for this, though, by somebody. He sounds like he's doing a Sammy Hagar impression to me. Like, it's not, I know what Gary sounds like. And it's, like I said, we harp every time we say something a little negative about this particular album, people think we're shitting on Gary Cherone as a performer. We're not. We love Extreme. Extreme is great. Matter of fact, Extreme is one of the most underrated bands that were a thing in the 80s that you guys should really go back and check out their material because those dudes could rip. Yeah, I am not here to downplay Gary or any of Extreme. That being said, I don't know what he's doing on this album because he just doesn't sound like the Gary from Extreme, which should have been. I think maybe that was everybody's problem. Is the fact that it was Van Halen and it didn't sound like Van Halen because of Gary, because Gary wasn't sounding like Gary and maybe there wasn't enough mix in there. And, you know, and of course we've talked about that before and the reasons why, but I don't know. I like this chorus, but to me, he sounds like he's kind of doing a Sammy Hagar impression and maybe he's not doing it on purpose. Maybe it's kind of subconscious because of how the music is played. I don't know. If I'm crazy, if I'm hearing it wrong, please let me know. But to me, that's what it sounds like.
You know, I think it's just because he's so down on the mix. You would expect Sammy or David to be way up front on that chorus, mm-hmm. right? Especially on the Without You's. And you have that kind of that nice harmony. Like the harmony leading into it on the bridge was terrible. Like how it was, yeah. It sounds awful. When you got Michael Anthony and Eddie Van Halen, and you're going to do that to the harmony on the bridge, that was fucking terrible. But rectified coming into the solo, right? They sounded great. You know, mm-hmm. get Gary Cherone, who is such a powerful, wonderful singer, put him out front and let him just go to town. But it's thin. And I think that's maybe where you're getting the Sammy Hagar comparison from. Had this been mixed by Ted Templeman, I think you get Gary Cherone out there loud and proud. And maybe when we're done, I just want to play a little bit maybe a live cut of Without You from 1988. Because they played this song, according to setlist.fm, they played it, 78 times by Van Halen. So I'll try and find a live cut. And I bet you if you get Gary out there belting this thing, it's going to sound pretty fucking killer.
I think it would. I really do. But like, right now, what's kind of killing it for this song is some of the mixing, notably with whatever's going on with Gary's voice here. I'm just not understanding the direction behind that.
Exactly. There's that harmony again on the how long can this go on? Like, again, you got Mike Anthony and you got Eddie Van Halen. you know, the sound of Van Halen is their harmony, and you put this kind of robotic effect on it, just
it's a weird effect, and then it's very low, so it's almost like, what's the point of even having it if you're not gonna, you know, put it out there to be heard? And see, right there, he didn't sound like Sammy to me on these verses, so I don't know what's going on with the chorus line, or I really don't understand what's happening with the background vocals either. It's like two background. This is just not well mixed.
We got to get Mike Post on the show and ask him, like, what happened during the recording, and more importantly, the mastering and the mixing of this album.
Yeah, give us the scoop, buddy.
Yeah, give us the scoop. And I'm sure let's call Eric Senich. I bet you he knows.
He probably knows. Yes.
Yeah, and he can fill us in what kind of happened on Van Halen 3, because so many great Van Halen elements there that are just not being utilized properly.
Everyone make sure to message Eric to get him to tell his side of the story. I'm sure he knows. So anyway,
that's right. Yeah. Hit him up. Booked on Rock Podcast, the Van Halen News Desk. Great guy to talk to. Let's bombard him with messages about Without You from Van Halen 3. You're smiling a bit, Mark. That was pretty fucking cool. You gotta admit.
Yes, because it sounded like Michael and Eddie having a bass guitar duel, even though they're playing literally the same thing. They're going like note for note down the fretboard, but it just sounded like, I'm gonna do this, see if you can keep up.
And you throw Alex in there too, right? Throw Alex in there, because all of a sudden you get some, you know, double hits on the hi-hat. You got a nice.
When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second-guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/achieve today.
Nice little roll in there too, a little Tom roll. He's in there dueling as well. Fuck, I loved everything about that.
That's a really, really cool section. It almost, it felt right until the break. And then you just get Eddie doing his little solo, little chug there, using a really weird, I don't even know if he's using overdrive. I don't know what sort of effect pedal he's using, but he's just, and I don't know what kind of chords he's making either, but like it almost sounded very dissonant and off which I'm sure was by design because, you know, he's funky that way, Eddie. And but yeah, no, I really like that instrumental version or that instrumental portion of the song. That was really cool. I was smiling because in my head, I'm just seeing Michael and Eddie just looking at each other playing the whole riff, both like going note for note, not even looking at what they're doing. They're just looking at each other like, who's going to break eye contact first? And neither one of them did. So that just that imagery put a smile on my face.
And, you know, I wish that was the way too. If only we could get a hold of Michael Anthony and ask him, like, you're really rolling on three songs in this album, but tell us about recording without you. Because yeah, there's a great section where the three of them are just knocking it out of the park.
I would love to hear any stories whatsoever Michael wants to tell us about the recording process. But yeah, no, this one would be a really good question to ask.
The Van Halen harmony on that. You got a little bit of it at the end. You hear Michael just, in the bass going, and then you get the without you. I'm like, oh man, bring that shit up. That's Van Halen, right? The power of Michael Anthony and Eddie Van Halen, their voices together. I kind of missed it. I'm digging the fuck out of the song though. Like, I love that chorus and I loved everything they were doing there. Just give me a little more of what makes Van Halen Van Halen.
That's what everybody wants. That's it, doesn't matter what era of Van Halen we're listening to. That's what we want. Like, just give us that Van Halen flavor. It doesn't matter who you got singing for you. It doesn't matter who's playing bass or isn't playing bass on the track, whatever. Just give us that Van Halen flavor. That's what we want. That's what everyone wants.
You know what? I think put this song on 5150 in that era, right? With that production, this song may be an all-time Van Halen classic.
I could see that. I could see. Yeah. Definitely the mix for one thing. I just feel like, yeah, if this song was mixed better, I think it would have gotten a better response.
Yeah. I don't know if this song ever charted.
Probably not.
It debuted at number one on the mainstream rock tracks.
Oh, okay.
But I don't think it ever hit like the Hot 100 or anything.
Yeah.
All right. Nice little change of tempo there at the end on the work it outs, which again, didn't sound like Van Halen. I kind of wish they would, but I really like the kind of tempo change. Mark, that's Without You from Van Halen 3. What do you think?
It's an interesting way they give us that classic sort of Van Halen fade out. It's a band that doesn't do enough arena rock ends to their song that you would expect. They like to do the fade out where they're just playing and playing forever into the sunset. And this is one of those we got. So that's, but yeah, interesting tempo change, sort of shift in the dynamic of the song right there at the end. That's a choice. So there it is. Yeah, Without You from Van Halen 3. We've tackled another one. I'm just going to throw it right to you just to see how you're vibing on this song, Corey. Is this the one or is this a one? Is this track from Van Halen 3 What Dreams Are Made Of, or is, once again, the dream over?
I dug this tune. To me, and again, maybe we'll play a little bit of the live cut, because I bet you live this thing was killer. All the elements for a great Van Halen song are here. And just let Gary go. Let him be Gary Cherone. Let him just belt out this song at the top of his lungs. Don't bury him in the mix. Don't bury Mike and Eddie on harmonies in the mix. Like, just let him fucking go. Let him gallop in Van goddamn Halen, for fuck's sakes. Let him go. But all the elements are there. I really dug this tune. Even the little few nitpicks I have aren't going to keep me from saying that the dream is over. To me, this is a return to form from this album. I knew I liked songs on this album. And I was really kind of hoping that Without You was coming up pretty quick, because we had three clunkers in a row. But I dug the hell out of this song. Eddie sounds great. I love the musical interludes. Mike's doing some cool shit on the bass, and Alex is right there with him. You know, we always talked about during an Eddie solo, all of a sudden you'll get to, you know, some double hits on the hi-hat or a little roll here. Just kind of, hey, guess what, little brother, I'm here too. And I dig that shit. That's Van Halen to me. So absolutely. This is What Dreams Are Made Of for me. The real question is Michael Green going to have a bone to pick with you, Mark, on your vote this week? Without You from Van Halen 3, is the dream over, or is this what dreams are made of?
Well, Michael Green's always going to have a bone to pick regardless. So in that regard, I have to say... For now, put your bones away. I did not hate this track whatsoever. As a matter of fact, I dug quite a bit from it. Nitpicks aside, and how I feel about the overall mix of the track, put it away. I tried to listen to the song just as the song is presented. And it's, look, we've talked about it before. I've had songs that I've listened to on here going like, yeah, no, I'm not digging this Van Halen track. I don't think this is what I think the dream is over for this, only for it to be saved by the ever vigilant, ever popular, ever just classic Eddie Van Halen solo. He can bring it back. If you're not feeling the song, he can bring it back with a solo. He's like, okay, I get it. You've been patient. Let me reward your patience with this. And he just noodles away. And before you know it, you're like, well, that song rips for that solo alone. I'm going to say this song on Van Halen 3, Without You, rips for the solo alone, or the bass and guitar duel that I'm talking about earlier. It's probably not a duel, but it sounded like one, and in my head canon it is, and that just makes it so much more fun. This sounded fun, you know, despite the fact that the lyrics themselves, the content of the song, might not be trying to project a fun atmosphere per se, but the sound of it, it's the fun Van Halen rock sound that you know and that you love. And what did we just say? That's what you come to Van Halen for. It doesn't matter what era. You come there for the rip-roaring rock tunes that are fun. You want to have a good time. The mix and the vocals notwithstanding, this song was a fun time for me. I'm just as shocked about it as you probably are, the audience, because yes, I was just at the start of it. I groaned because I can't believe we were doing yet another one already from Van Halen 3. But look, I'm not saying this is going to go into my top 20 Van Halen songs of all time, but look, I'm not going to call it one of the worst because I don't think it is. I don't think it is. And I agree with Corey's mentality. Let Gary Cherone shine. Don't put him in the corner. Let him just do his thing. I'd be very curious to hear how they sound doing the song live. So for me, Without You from Van Halen 3 is the first, maybe the only, but we'll find out. The first song from the album that is what dreams are made of for me.
All right. Now, I was doing some searching while you were talking there, Mark, and came across an article by our good friend Eric Senich from the Van Halen News Desk. And the headline of the article is, Should Without You Have Been Left Off of Van Halen's Best of Both Worlds compilation? Obviously, with the title of Best of Both Worlds, you would think they would focus on Sammy and Dave. But does this song maybe deserve a place on a Van Halen's greatest hits over some of the songs that maybe made the list? Think about it. Strung Out, Not Enough from Balance made that album. And they had three live tracks from live right here, right now. They played, they put Ain't Talking About Love, Panama, and Jump on there. So, you know, they could have maybe replaced one of the live cuts with this, or even one of the three new ones. We talked about It's About Time, which is a song we both like, and Learning to See, which is a song I fucking hate. I would like to see that maybe replaced the song Without You. But what do you think? Do you think Without You deserves a place on a Van Halen greatest hits?
If you're going to replace it from replace it with one of those other songs that made the cut that we are not so keen on, then yeah, I say absolutely. Even if it's just this one song from this particular era, you gotta put it in there. It's called the Best of Both Worlds. I know both implies just two worlds, but look, you can throw Gary a bone because look, it sounds like he went through a lot dealing with this album and dealing with the band itself. So like, this is not the podcast where we shit on Gary.
On every
Gary
vacation,
Cherone, right?
At a verbal.
We're just here to spread the love of Van Halen and the best way we can. And we're not above letting them know if the song doesn't work for us. This song, however, did. And I think, yes, it deserves a spot on that album.
Very well said. I agree 100%. As you could probably tell from the ad that I was trying to silence while you were talking, I found a live clip on YouTube. Should we check it out here?
Yeah, why not?
All right, here's a little bonus Without You Live, 1998 from Sydney, Australia. Alex is wearing the neck brace, of course. I just want to buy him a beer and his ear for 3 or 4 hours. That's what I'm talking about. I'm talking, right? So much better.
Yeah. Let's see if they stare at one another when they play.
There you go. Hold it.
Probably shouldn't play the whole thing. Yeah. Let's appreciate the solo.
I was about to say, yeah.
That's killer. That's good shit right there.
It's much better live.
Oh man, and what a tour that would have been. Like that's the only time Van Halen ever played Dave Tunes and Sammy Tunes.
Jeez. Like that, I mean that would have been the ultimate the ultimate Van Halen showcase.
Like I'll just bring up one of the set lists there during that time. They played Unchained, opened, and then they went into Without You, and then What I Want, Mean Street, Hello, When It's Love, Fire in the Hole, another great song from Van Halen 3, Why Can't This Be Love, Dance the Night Away, Feel Your Love Tonight, Jamie's Crying, Humans Being, Hello, so Humans Being, fucking love that tune, Somebody Get Me a Doctor, Year to the Day, Right Now, Ain't Talking About Love, Josephina, Panama, and Jump. Like, God, damn.
That's the perfect set for me. Like, if I'm going to a Van Halen show, like, that's what I want. Give me those.
Yep, ditch Josephina and put something cool in there.
Yeah.
I know that's the album they're promoting, though, so you got to play it. But
it's true, but I get what you're saying.
Gary Cherone doing Humans Being, that'd be pretty cool.
I think he could absolutely wail on Humans Being if they let him, as long as he's in good voice that the day of the show. Yep. And it's not like Humans Being takes... it's not the most overly technical sounding song, at least from a vocal perspective. Like it's definitely not the highest Sammy has sung before, not by a long shot. So I mean, it wouldn't be too difficult, is what I'm saying, and not that Gary needs it for it to be dumbed down. I'm just simply reiterating. I think he could absolutely just annihilate that song.
You know, I'm just trying to count how many Sammy songs are actually in the set list, and
is Dreams on that set?
No,
I didn't think so.
No, only four. You get a lot more Dave tunes than Sammy tunes, so that's kind of interesting because Gary's the one singer I think who could do both really, really well.
I think he could, but I wonder if he had remotely any say so in the set list. Probably not.
Unless he did. Probably during rehearsals, we're like, hey guys, you want to try this? Like, I love this tune. And, you know, maybe they workshopped it. But I would imagine that's all Eddie and Alex at this point.
Yeah, pretty much. That's fair.
It's a great tune. And I'm glad you agreed. I was kind of surprised actually listening to your comments during the song. I thought, oh, he's going to shit on this song. And we're going to have to deflect all the Van Halen 3 lovers for another week. But
yeah, well, like yeah, like I said, there's a lot. There are some things I wanted to nitpick a little bit, but it just didn't feel right and it didn't feel necessary. I just wanted to experience the song as it was presented. And like I said, my hugest gripe that I can't let go of is the vocal mixing. I think that was bad, but
we agree on that one for sure.
Yeah. But it wasn't so bad that I couldn't enjoy the rest of the songs. And that's, that's what you want, really. You don't want to ever, we don't want to shit on any Van Halen songs whatsoever. We want to say, okay, here are the things that didn't work. However, it's still good enough. You know, no, anytime we have to vote The Dream Is Over, it hurts. Okay. I don't know how Corey feels about it, but it certainly hurts me. Because it just feels like I'm betraying someone that I love. But it's just not every band is invincible. So, you know, no matter what we all say, I know some of you will probably come at me. Oh, well, what about, and I go, yeah, sure. But no one's invincible. It's going to be okay.
It's going to be okay. And you know what, Mark, we spun this, you weren't really excited. I was a lot more happy than you were. Because you didn't really recall this one, but I'm going to dare to say that you're in a better mood now than you were when we started.
I am. I'm relieved is what I am, because I was afraid we were just going to get yet another dud from this album, because so far the ones we have gone over on this album for me have been absolutely no go. This one, however, this is the one I was hoping for that would change my mind. So now I have a newfound optimism that maybe, just maybe, when we dive back into the rest of the album, however many songs are left that we have, that I will go into it much more optimistic and maybe find another gem amidst the shit.
There you go. That's the right way to look at it. Let's see what we got left. We've got 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. 6 left, not counting the instrumentals. There would be 8 with the instrumentals. So, and actually, the album actually opened with an instrumental. I kind of missed this. We should maybe listen to that, because that's kind of what we've been doing whenever there's been an instrumental that's, you know, preceded the song that we spun. Let's give New World a little bit of a spin. We got a minute 46 here.
All right, let's try it.
Just kind of lovely and pretty. And I originally was thinking, what a weird way to kind of open a rock album. But you know, you had the little underlying melody of Without You in there. You had some electric sitar, which you never hear in a lot of rock music, and Mike Post on the piano. That was pretty fucking cool.
It was gorgeous. That was an interesting set of directions that went there towards the end. That was funny. But that was gorgeous. And it almost pains me to be like, the only thing this music was missing was a Sam Elliott voiceover talking about like coffee or like doing something, you know. Just, this sounded like a coffee commercial.
You know what? I thought like I was watching music. The Princess Bride for a minute. It kind of sounded like, ooh, Mark Knopfler's score from The Princess Bride.
That is a good call. Yeah, I reamend. All we needed was the voiceover from, oh, what's his face? I'm blanking on his name.
Columbo.
Yeah. I'm blanking on his actual name. I apologize, everybody. But Columbo.
Peter Fall.
Peter Falk, thank you. Rest in peace, Peter Falk. Yeah, that's what it was missing. It was him reading The Princess Bride to young Fred Savage. But, you know, I kid, of course, but that is what it reminded me of for the most part, not to take away the beauty of that whole arrangement. It was, yeah, that was awesome.
It was amazing. I would recommend, once you're done listening to this podcast, go listen to New World and Without You back to back without us jackholes talking all over it. And just appreciate musically how great those two tracks are. That was wonderful. And man, did it lift my spirits tonight. Originally, when you spin something from Van Halen 3, you're thinking, oh, really? But I knew I dug this song before, so I was kind of happy. But I just appreciated it so much more tonight. And really glad we spun this one tonight. How about you?
I am too. We needed it. We needed a good song that we could both agree. It's like, yes, that's it. That's the one.
Yep.
Not the album I would have chosen, not whatsoever, but I'm glad that it was this one. So I will count it as the wheel throwing us a bone. And that's all I asked the wheel to be merciful. And it was, with a slight twist. It's like, I'm going to give you this, but just you wait. So thanks, wheel. And with that, Corey, that's the episode. That's the show for this week. But tell the good people where they can find the show and where they can find yourself if they want to just come at you directly.
All right. They can find me at CD Morissette on Twitter and Instagram. They can find the show at Podcast Will Rock on Twitter or www.podcastwillrock.com. And of course, you can find us as part of the Deep Dive Podcasting Network, a bunch of like-minded shows for some of your favorite bands. Let's check out the run list here. We have the Sabbath Bloody Podcast, Skinnerd Reconsidered, the Deep Purple Podcast, T-Bone's Prime Cuts. I love T-Bone. He does a follow Friday every single week and includes us. Thank you very much, T-Bone. You're the man.
Nice.
In the Lap of the Pods. I hope that they're going to get back out of here real quick. I love that show. The Magicians Podcast. Scott from the Magicians Podcast, talking all things Uriah Heep, is going to be on our show very quick. He just had his author page added to Amazon, so go check that out. He's coming up next month on our show, and I can't wait to have him on. Hawk Binge is a journey through the Hawk Binge discography. Maiden A to Z, Diary of the Madmen, talking all things Ozzy, of course. Universally Speaking, the Red Hot Chili Peppers podcast. Metal Gods podcast. I know last week I mentioned that they were kind of hanging it up. Heard a rumor they might be coming back with a third co-host, so stay tuned to that. That's going to be awesome. And of course, the podcast Will Rock and Backtracks Aerosmith Revisited, featuring myself. Even though on the website it says hosted by Casey and John, my name is Corey, not Casey. they actually have our show name wrong on the website. They put The Podcast Will Rock, which is incorrect, and they have hosted by Casey and Mark, and they have Casey and John on Backtracks Aerosmith Revisited. But my name is Corey, I swear. And John Mariano, breaking down all things Aerosmith. So that's where you can find us. And Mark, where can the fine folks find you?
Is Casey Morissette the bizarro version of you? Like the one that just kind of like comes out to cause a ruckus when you're not looking?
You know what? Possibly. And actually, any Canadians listening to this, like Brian and Mark, whenever I hear the name Casey, I think Casey and Finnegan from Mr. Dress Up, which was a big children's show up here in Canada. You guys had Mr. Rogers. We had Mr. Dress Up. And Casey was his puppet child, friend. I'm not even quite sure, but his name was Casey and Finnegan was his dog. So whenever I see Casey, I think back to my childhood. That's one of the few things I remember from my childhood because I'm so fucking old. How about you, Mark?
Well, so many follow-up questions to that whole thing. I will save that for another episode. You can find me at Mark the Bat on Twitter and Instagram. Drop me a line, throw all your hot takes at me, and I'll sure to come back at you with either a thumbs up or a, well, that's cool, man. It's loads of fun. We love it. And that is the show. As Corey said, find us on our website, find us on Twitter, buy our merch. We got merch out there.
Oh, Mike Green bought some merch. He tweeted today. He had a picture. He's actually wearing the shirt I'm wearing tonight. The podcast Will Rock with the old VH logo. So thank you very much, Mike Green. That $6 we get from that is going to go to good use, probably for the, $25 a month I pay for Zoom or something like that. But we really appreciate it, Mike, for buying some merch, and everybody else listening should too. It's really cool stuff.
The buying of the merch keeps the lights, the speakers, the recording boxes, everything keeps it on, the electricity on. So yeah, keep us going if you enjoy what we do. So, and yes, big shout out to Michael for that. I saw that picture. But yeah, that's all I got. That's all Corey. That's all Casey's got. Either one of them, it doesn't matter. But thank you all for tuning in. Be sure to tune in next week. Hopefully we have yet another banger, but you never know, because it's not up to us. It is up to the wheel. We are not experts. We are not rock historians. We are just humble fans like yourself that enjoy the sweet, sweet tones of Van Halen. We are, and the podcast will rock, and we will rock you later.
Hi, this is Craig Robinson from Ways to Win, and support for this podcast comes from Invesco QQQ. The future isn't scary, not realizing its potential, however, could be. Just like on the recruiting trail, I've seen potential come in many forms as a coach. Learn more at Invesco.com/QQQ. Let's rethink possibility. Invesco Distributors, Inc.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. HelloFresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.